Blog Talk Radio.
Serving up the beats and making it hot.
Making it hot.
It's DJ IQ.
And it's is on. Bang this in your whip. Pack them cold and roadie with the chips in the wrist. Here's a French kiss. I dismiss all you chicks. Fit six from the fourth fifth. Make it dance. Ow! I stay focused in the dopest. Like a penny with a hole in it. Y'all just hopeless and toast. I ain't lying. Niggas trying to knock me off. Keep trying. All it takes is one phone call to my street team. Promote that ass like a soundtrack. You jack. Send it off with the 850. Y'all missing the buck. What the fuck? Bump Biggie in the truck. In the bus to my double vision. Let me see you do the bank head if you're rich. It's the rap, make rap, the QB. And I got all my sisters with me.
Other guests on the show, so hold on. Temperance is on the line, and we want to have. have a nice bad interview with Empress Ozone. So let me get the other overall mother on the line. Come on. Telling the number into my voice. Hold on. Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, everybody, please welcome to the air the other legendary overall mother, D. Chanel, is now on the air. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask both a series of questions. Like I told everybody, everybody in the chat room, everybody on the phone line, this show is all positive. All the negative, all of that stuff, leave that shit out the door. If anybody calls in and talking in that room with any negative or any of that shit on the phone, y'all definitely be hung up on, because the show, like I told y'all, on Tuesdays and Wednesday nights, all positive. All the shade and all that stuff, we leave all of that for Monday. So tonight is definitely all positive. How you doing? Yeah, sorry. On that note, okay. Let me start with Tempris. Since my first question that I have for you is, when was your first ball to Evangelist?
My first ball? The phone's going in and out, so I'm sorry if I have to ask you to repeat the question sometimes. But my first ball, I think, actually was like, I can't remember if it was like 96 or 97, but it was the Nike Pavilion ball, the Ebony ball. That's the one that I consider my ball, because that's when I was a Chanel. But before then, I had walked previous little balls, and I was just a free agent. So
okay.
I claimed the 97 Ebony Nike Pavilion ball.
I know that's right. Andy, the same question for you.
The first ball that I ever walked was in 95. Yeah, like 95. I think it was Jahad Shafest ball he had here in Atlanta. And this was before I knew anything about a ball or a house or anything. I actually was riding past, and I had actually heard about houses and balls and everything, but it wasn't nothing that actually had sparked my interest at the time. So I was just basically, like, really riding past this place, and I just saw, like, these group of people, and I was like, what's going on out here? And they were like, oh, it's a ball. So I went in, and, you know, it kind of caught my interest a little bit, and that's when my ballroom career, like, pretty
much
didn't start, but that's what sparked my interest
was
the ball.
That's right. So now, Temperance, what were the first category that you were nominated?
You said what? What was the first category I walked?
What was your first category that you walked and you dominated?
Oh, the first one that I walked is the first one that I walked is I mean, there's a difference, but the one I started out walking. You know, we all have to find ourselves. Now, really, a lot of people don't know, but I did start out walking Itch Queen Bogota Vogue Fam. I started walking Vogue Fam, but then the one that I actually walked and dominated was Drag Space. When I walked Drag Space in the building shift, I knew that I had hit the ball from scene. No, that's what I discovered. That's what I should be walking. And it was Drag Space.
See, the same question for you.
The first category that I walked actually at that ball that night was Faith. I walked Faith, and I walked Women also that night. And, like, I didn't get into the ballroom until, like, really seriously until, like, 96. And my category at first that I was, like, more known for was Realness.
Okay. And so, from the ballroom scene, from when y'all started to the ballroom scene now, what do y'all think has changed in the ballroom scene, and what would y'all like to see go back?
Well, I think, I mean, when me and Didi started, I mean, we both kind of basically was in the same house, so we're sisters from way back. And what we had back then, it was just more fun. Like, you just put more into it. It was just like we prepared. Like, it was like we were trying to, you wanted to reign. You wanted to, we had to fight for what we wanted. Back then, it was, there was a handful of legends, and my goal was to be legendary. And at this point, I kind of feel like a lot of times what does legendary mean? Back then, there was just a camaraderie. Like, everybody was just, like, when it was a ball, it wasn't so many balls. So when there was a ball, you was excited and everybody bought it. You know, people call me Hollywood or whatever and say that I'm extra, but I think that that's the time to be extra is in the balls. You know, so Tempest is a character, and that started from us. When we used to come to the balls, it was like, we're going to give it. We're going to pull our all into it. And I just don't believe that that's still there at times. It's kind of like you come to a ball and you be like, I'm walking, and you jump up and walk, whether it's space, whatever, you walk. I just think that it was more preparation and fun back in the day.
Dee,
can you repeat the question a little bit, because I really didn't hear it. Repeat the question. I kind of heard you said something about as far as what's the difference in the ballroom back then than it is now.
What was the difference from back then to now in the ballroom scene?
I mean, now ballrooms is a little more in, they always has been intense, but now it becomes a little more personal to me. Back then, like Tipper said, it was more fun, it was more preparation, it was more family oriented. Well, I know as for us, it's starting at Chanel's. You know, we was rewarded for when we went out there and represented the house. If we won, lose, or whatever, we was always a family. When you saw one, you saw three, four, five more, you know, of us. And, like, back then, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was more fun. We, you know what I'm saying? We had the fever. We was thirsty for it. When it was a ball, we was there. We was, you know what I'm saying? We was young. It was interesting. You know what I'm saying? We really didn't have to do much back then because our house father and mother supported us. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's just completely different now, like totally different than what it is. Like, you make a lot of enemies now, and a lot of people don't understand why we so, not even distance, because if anyone know me on a personal level, they know Dee Dee is
exactly a cool individual.
But now it puts me on the defensive a little bit. It's like, because the same way they praise you and put you on this high pedestal, they'll take you down from it. So I had to learn that with time, you know, because, you know, like I said, back then, houses was different. Well, I know my, I'm only gonna speak for my house. It was different. The ballroom was fresh here in Atlanta. You know, it was new. We was young. And it was just a unity. It's not like that anymore at all.
Oh, I know that's right. And so my next question that I have for the both of y'all is, what made y'all want to transition into the women that y'all are today?
Well, for me, I fought it for a very long time because I was actually in my career and I was acting and singing and things, and I knew that I was different when I was younger, but I didn't really know that there was a reality of being able to transition from being a natural born male to, you know, a female transition or what have you. So it took me a while. I fought it. I walked drag for like 5 or 6 years, and people would be like, oh, you should be a femme queen, you should be a... And I'm like, no, that's not what I'm going to be. But deep down inside, you know, and I'm from Mount Vernon, New York. You ain't seen it a lot. Like, I thought it was only two people in Mount Vernon that were gay, and that's because they were out. You know, but then when I got to Atlanta and I realized that this could be done, you know, and I see that there were actually transgender women who were beautiful and were real or what have you, then I knew that that's what my destiny was going to be. And it took me a longer time, but once I did it, I knew that that was the happiest day of my life, and I never looked back on it. But I just knew, like, once I did it, I was like, this is what I should have been done.
Dee Dee?
Well, my transition started at the age of 14. And how mine started, once again, being curious, a friend of mine had actually took me to my first gay club. I wasn't old enough to get in. We were just hanging out and, you know, meeting new people, whatever. And I had met a couple of cross-dressing friends who just, like, pretty much just wear hair and, you know, like cam drag or whatever, however you want to put it, whatever. So, like, the second week, I hooked up with these people again, and they snuck me into the club. And there was a drag show going on. So the first drag, the first femme queen or transgender woman or whatever was Raquel Racine, and she was performing. And they kept telling me, like, that's a trans, but, you know, that's a femme queen. And I was like, no way, because she's sitting here with dollar bill, pasties, and her breasts and between her legs and something. Her boobs gap, wide legs open. So I'm like, wow. It, like, really caught my curiosity. So that following week, I went over to my friend's house, and we just all just, like, dressed up. And, like, from there, how the response that I got from people and, you know, things like that, it's just pretty much like my body was catching up with my mind, because I always felt different, always just been very feminine, you know what I'm saying? But once again, I tried to please others. I tried to please my family or fight, you know what I'm saying, just fight that feeling or whatever that I, you know what I'm saying, that I wanted to be. I didn't know that I wanted to be a girl, but I just, like I said, I knew I wasn't interested in females. I knew I was different, but I always was trying to please my family and other people. And I moved to Atlanta when I was like 9 with my aunt. And like I said, when I started like playing around with, you know, the transformation, when I started playing up in drags, whatever, and the responses I was getting from guys and stuff, it just like went from there. I started doing it, then I'd take it off and I'll, you know, get back up in them, because I was in school and came my parents and I found out about it, and they embraced it, and they were very supportive, my aunt, my dad, my mom, and they just pushed me to go to school, you know, and to be the best that I wanted to be. They just didn't want me out in the streets, because I, like, ran away from home, didn't want to be at home trying to hide that lifestyle from my family, and once they found out, they embraced it, and I think that was pushing me even more, because my family was very supportive of my transition at a pretty young age.
I know that's right. And so my next question that I have, can y'all name the houses that y'all been in? Because we are old. Well, not me. y'all switched a couple of houses.
You said the houses that we've been in?
Yes, the houses that y'all been in.
Okay, I started out as a Chanel, and then I was an Allure. And then I was Mother Mugler, and now I'm back to the Allures. I'm Mother Allure.
Same with me. I started out as a Chanel in 2000, if I'm not mistaken. I became Mother Ebony of Atlanta. I was Mother Ebony for at least like 3 years. And I then went to the House of Balenciaga, if I'm not mistaken. It was like 04, 05, maybe like 03. It has to be like 03, 04. And I was a Balenciaga for 7 years. That actually was the longest house that I was ever in. From Balenciaga's, I went to the House of Allure, and I was there for a month. And then I went to the House of Chanel, where I started from, so.
Okay, I know that's right, I think. Well, hold on, we got a phone caller. We're going to take the caller. Anybody else that's on the phone lines, if you have any questions for these little ladies, feel free at this time to simply press 1. I have some more questions for them, and so we're going to go back and forth from questions and phone calls. So our first caller that we have on the line is area code 646-660. You're live on the internet with the legendary Mother Herself.
Hello?
Yes, I will.
Hello. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Sheik. What's going on?
Hey, this is Shamique. I just wanted to say happy related birthday to Dee Dee.
Thank you, Shamique. I love you, baby. Thank you so much.
I love you, too.
Hello.
Oh, happy birthday, Dee Dee.
Thank you, sis.
Hey, Dee Dee.
Hey, what's that?
This is Monique.
Oh, hey, Mom. Hey, baby.
Hi.
Hey.
Happy belated birthday.
Shanique just wanted to say that to you.
I have no questions.
Peace.
We're going to pitch you back on hold, buddy. If anybody else is on the phone line, if you have any questions, feel free to definitely press 1. We're definitely going to be taking on callers. The ladies are going to be here with the conversation with the ladies and everything. So, my next question to y'all, how did y'all feel when y'all first got offered our first mother position?
I didn't hear you. What was the question again?
How did you feel when you got first asked, offered your first mother's position?
Well, for me, like,
Okay, I think, like, also, like, that was a goal of mine as well. Like, being in the house of Chanel, like, Shay Shay was the outspoken type of mother, and I was, like, her sidekick as well. So I had a lot to say, and I always had such, I always knew what I wanted the house that I was in to look like. And I always knew that I just wanted so much for the house. And like I said, we was a family and everything. So when I first got my mother position, I felt like I was ready. Like, that's what I wanted. So it was exciting for me, and it was a challenge, and it was the challenge that I was ready to take on.
Didi?
As far as me, when I was first offered my first mother position, I was kind of in denial about it because I still was young, and I didn't really think that I was ready, but I knew what I wanted as, or not what I wanted as a house, what I'm used or accustomed to as, you know, what I consider as being a house. It was more family-oriented and unity. So it was asked to me a couple of times until at the age, like, 19, when I actually finally decided to depart from the house of Chanel. At the time, it was a lot of stars in our house, a lot of statements. You know, it was me, it was Coco, it was Temperance, it was Nikki. It was a lot of us female figures who pretty much was fighting for, not even fighting for that position, but it had came to the time to where, you know, we knew that Shay Shay was eventually going to want to step down away from it, or we just felt that it was our time to, you know what I'm saying, grow within the ballroom scene. And I just felt like it was the perfect opportunity for me to take on that responsibility. So when they asked me to be Mother Ebony, you know, I spoke with, you know, my house mother, Shay Shay, and I spoke with Bud about it. And, you know, they told me, you're not ready for that. Didi, don't make a mistake that you're going to regret or whatever. And they just kept telling me, you know, don't do it, just wait. But, of course, I wanted to step out on the limb and, you know, do things the way I wanted to do it and run things the way I run it. And pretty much it was a hard task in the beginning because the House of Ebony, I hope I'm not saying anything wrong, they went outside of the house to find a mother. So some of the girls that was there at the time probably felt some type of way about y'all going outside of the house to find a mother who was young. And we've been here for, you know, 5-6 years, and this was a little girl. I guess that's how they view me, you know. So some of the members had ended up leaving the House of Ebony. So pretty much I started, like, from scratch. And the members that I brought to the ballroom scene or who I embraced was pretty much new to the scene. It was Dante, Taryn, Vandala, Legendary Vandala. She's a Chanel now. Yo-Yo Milan. You know, a lot of people who have actually big names in the scene or whatever, they really didn't know too much about the ballroom scene. So when I brought them to the ballroom scene, they all adapted to me as a mother. And I knew how Shay Shay and Bud took care of their kids and the things that they embraced them with and the unity, and that's what I wanted with my house. And, like, I achieved it within those 3 years. You know, I brought the House of Ebony back to where they needed to be during that time of me being a mother. So, I mean, I didn't take it as a regret. I actually learned from it, you know? So,
okay. I know that's right. And my next question to y'all, this has been going, I've been hearing this a lot lately. How do y'all feel about people offering girls mother positions and telling them if they are the mother of the house that they'll get their work and stuff done for them?
I wish they did that to
it?
Me. Offer me something. Otherwise, I want something. So I think that I don't think that you should do that. I think, first of all, a lot of times that's false.
I didn't
false,
even know they still do that. Like,
yeah, I'm like, you know, I didn't know they do that either.
And why
but,
would you
I just seem pressed. I just think that you think, you just seem kind of pressed if you're offering her that right off the rip. Like, I mean, unless you just see it like that, oh, well, I mean, I'm not a hater. Do what you got to do. But I don't really know how I feel about that.
Me personally, I think it's dumb for the simple me personally, I just don't want no one to feel that they have credibility of me being who I am or become a woman. I guess I think anything within your transition, during your transition, I think you feel more better about it when you accomplish it and do things on your own you feel more better about yourself.
Some
because, you know, you're
going to
have people who are going to doubt you, going to hate on you, tell you, you know, don't do it, you know, you sure this is what you want to do, don't do it for the wrong reasons, which some of us have done for the wrong reasons and regret that they ever even went through that transition. But I just think you feel better about yourself when you do it for yourself. So if someone was to offer me that, I mean,
girl,
I don't know.
It costs a lot of money.
Yeah, and if someone just offer you that, then, yeah, you're going to have to go, yeah, put my stuff in a cashier's check. And, you know, you're not going to offer me nothing, and then I take it and I don't get it, or, you know. Mm-mm.
Okay, you have a call. 773-891. You're live on the air.
Yo, what up? This is D'Angelo Herrera. I didn't really want to say nothing. I just wanted to, you know what I'm saying, give a shout out to the rest of my Herrera family, you know.
The next caller we have is a private caller. The recap show.
Good evening, ladies.
Hi.
Well, I want to give like an acknowledgement. You two ladies that are brown skin ladies, you bitches are beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Dee Dee, you should be walking around with a glass case around your face because you sit eternally. But
thank
I want to
you,
know,
sweetheart.
You're welcome. I want to know, like, you know, typically in the gay community, glamour means light skin, curly hair, green eyes, beauty. What do you guys do to make yourself stand out against that stereotype or that, that stereotype?
I mean, I think that's in life, period. It's me from out, you know, I just think that a lot of people just think that light is right, you know? I mean,
well,
I embrace
my color. I mean,
like,
more so in the ballroom scene.
As far as in the ballroom scene, I mean, it always has been that way. Like, as speaking on my term, like, I didn't have it hard, but I had it a little harder than others. You know what I'm saying? Because I went through different phases of my transition from being there. Kelly know me from a long time ago. So a lot of people who know the Dee Dee now, I've went through several different phases of my, you know what I'm saying? Like, from my bangy phase to my, you know, face stage, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, light-skinned girls just always, I feel, you know what I'm saying, feel the need that they, you know, a black girl don't stand a chance or whatever, or, you know, so, I mean, it's whatever. I really don't have an answer for that question because it's just like, it, regardless if you're brown, light, dark, or whatever, the girls, it's nowadays it's more political. It's all in who you know. Sometimes on the panel, you very rarely get fair judges that judges the category correctly or whatever. It's all about the mic hype and who you know and, you know, who asks kissing and all of that. So it's just like whatever. It's not really real, like for real. That's how I look at it at the end of the day. Win, lose, or draw or whatever, I'm still going to be who I am, inside the ballroom or outside the ballroom. I never changed my face for anyone. Dee Dee has always been Dee Dee, so it's whatever.
I think that as a brown skin girl, what I try to do was just be a trendsetter or try to be over the top or try to just always keep people guessing. You always do, because you do definitely have to be, you have to go in harder than a light skin girl because it's just like society. And I just had a deep conversation about it the other day. And people still have that slavery mentality that, you know, light is better. So, and even in the ballroom thing, you just have to, I mean, a light skin girl could come in and win twice, and she's just that bitch, eternity. And a dark skin girl has to come and do it over and over and over again.
To make it
and,
right.
Yeah, you just have to. So, I mean, I just think as a dark skin girl, you just have to have confidence. Because I believe if you believe it, then other people will, and if you don't, then they won't either. And you just have to always be the bitch, a package with it when you're dark skin.
I know that's right. My next question that I have for y'all, because everybody, because, you know, it's so much shade and so much stuff that goes on in the ballroom scene, okay? I just want to clear the airways and all the girls know that I knew Temperance from back in the day when she used to live in Maryland and to come chill in the projects with me.
Right.
I did from when she was shooting that train in Atlanta. She was on 17 years up.
Daddy, stop talking about that story, girl.
What?
But go ahead.
What happened?
Wait, I said nothing. One of my moments.
Yeah, she had one of her moments, and we was in Atlanta, and we went food shopping, and the train gave her too much lip going up the steps, honey. And that's when her closet brought her gun out and shot the train.
That's not me. I'm not like that anymore.
But ladies have definitely, I've definitely been seeing both of the ladies definitely transition, definitely Miss Temperance, definitely slaying the girl down for motherfucking Butch Queen up and drag's face, bitch. Miss Temperance was definitely one of those girls that was definitely forced to be reckoned with. The same thing with Dee Dee with motherfucking realness, definitely, of course, definitely be reckoned with realness. Hold on, we have another call. And our next clinic we have. It's 3-4. It's my girlfriend, Miss Keisha. Hold on. Keisha, you're live on the air, Keisha.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's going on?
I just want to piggyback on the comment that you guys made about the complexion, light skin, dark skin. And I'm going to say this to you guys. In society, in the real world, you know, it was always thing to be light. I'm sure we all went through that phase. You know, the light-skinned girls with the curly hair or the light-skinned boys with the curly hair always got the better look than the brown-skinned, dark-skinned girls. And I think in the past 10 years, times have changed because a brown-skinned bitch can bring it. You're right. In our own world, we have to work twice as hard. But don't let that set you back because you can be just as pretty as that light-skinned girl or that higher-look girl with the long hair because Dee Dee, you have set a trend that you can be brown skin and short hair and still sell it. And it's not about your complexion. It's how you bring it. And I'm glad that you and Temperance set trends. It's not about your complexion. It's how you bring it. And mm-hmm. I think you said it. The ballroom scene now, it's not about who's light, who's dark. It's politics.
Yeah,
so now we have to work on that now. I don't think it's about the complexion thing anymore. Them days are over.
Yeah.
Okay? It's about politics
in my case.
Because, again, we've all been through that phase. You, Kelly, myself, when we were growing up, the thing to have was to be light, to have curly hair, to have green eyes. Am I right or wrong? We've all been through that phase.
Y'all keep talking about light skin and dark skin. Y'all keep forgetting to talk about the twos and the fours and the six mistake, okay?
But everybody wasn't
a two or four or the six.
You're right.
But
Kelly, growing up, it was either you were light or dark. It was no brown skin. Remember, it was light and dark.
And throughout the years,
they kind of segregated. They kind of made it light, dark, and brown skin. We've all been through that phase. We all wanted to be light because light was in. And then throughout the years, things have changed. That was phasing out. If you was brown skin and you was beautiful too. But kudos to you guys and do your thing. And teach these young girls because we need more role models in the ballroom scene. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Keisha.
Thank you.
And
thank
you girls in the chat room, if y'all would have been told me that my Skype was messed up, I would have been called in from my house phone. I was trying something new and trying to do the show from my Skype,
oh,
honey. From my house phone. And to you girls that was trying it in the chat room, honey, I don't have a motherfucking track phone, bitch. I have an HTC, bitch, and I have a house phone, okay? Keep it cute. Okay, yeah. Okay, thank you. Yeah, because I was on Skype. I was trying something new, honey. I was trying something new, honey. But the girls talk about a track show. So my next question is to y'all. How do y'all feel about the politics in the ballroom scene?
I think it's horrible. I mean, sometimes I sit on the panel, like, sometimes I don't even do it because I just feel like I'm the minority vote. a lot of times. And it's like if you feel bad, like so many people vote for their sister or brother or who they was on the phone with last night versus who's really turning it. And I think it's like really bad now. It's always been there, but I just think it's like really bad. What happened?
No, but, no, I was just saying it was more intense. I was agreeing. I didn't say anything.
Yeah, it is. It's like really bad now. It's like when I watch a ball, like actually sit and watch a ball, I see the people who want, and I'm just like, oh, this person is turning it, and then the other person wins. I'm like, oh my God, like where was I? Like who was that? You know, I think it's really bad now.
Duty. It's crazy. It makes you not want to be a part of it. It really do. It makes you really not be a part of it. It makes you kind of like not even second guess yourself. It's just like you. Sometimes you have to look at the panel and see who's on the panel before you even decide if you even want to put one of your kids out there to walk. You know, because like where we come from, you know what I'm saying, we put a little more effort and time into coming. You know what I'm saying? Atlanta is slept on a lot. I guess everyone feels that, you know, being from New York, you know, da-da-da-da, where the ballroom started at, and, you know, this, that, and the other, that they praise the ballroom scene there. But the ballroom scene here in Atlanta was still hot. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have a lot of the fem queens here, you know, whatever. And, like, now with the politics and what house you in and all of that, that really means a lot these days to a lot of, you know, the newer crowd. But like me, how I'm separating myself, Dee Dee is going to be Dee Dee, regardless with a title in front of her, a name behind her. I set the pace for my own fucking self. I'm not going to give credit to anyone for what, like, because I, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, it was kind of a little harder for me. It took me 11 years to get a fucking a legendary status. And I'm one of the first film queens out of fucking Atlanta to start going to New York. Me, Coco, they still have yet verbally deemed Coco as legend.
Coco been on vacation too long, but she's going to get it when she has to come on vacation.
Well, that may be the case, but just speaking in general, you know what I'm saying? A lot of these girls who they're giving out fucking status to, who only been in the fucking ballroom 5 years in the categories, not even a fucking legendary category. If there's a fucking category that they only been having for 5 years, how in the fuck a person can become legend from a category that's not even legendary? I don't get it. I just don't get it. But you know what I'm saying? Like I say, it just has a lot to do with politics, who you know, and who ass you kissing. I've never been an ass kisser. I'm not going to be an ass kisser. People can take it, love it or hate it. It's whatever. I'm not going to kiss no ass for no status because I know what I put into the ballroom. I know my history and where I've been at and what I've done. So, you know, like I said, the whole politic things, I just think it sucks. It sucks. It's all,
okay,
it's what house you in and all of that, and it's done.
Okay, a question that came from the chat room is, when was your first time in New York, Dee Dee?
My first time in New York was actually at the Revlon Ball in 1997 when it was the Revlon Ball. It was the night that Coco, Yolanda, Ayana, Vanessa, and Alyssa both came out with the blonde hair. This was before Deja went through her transformation, and she was a Chanel actually at the time. And what's the Totally Destruction Ball, 1997, that's when it was, at the Mark Ballroom.
Okay. I'm taking questions from the chat room, and I'm also taking questions on Yahoo, as long as they're positive questions. The next question that I have for both of y'all that just came across Yahoo was, can you please ask the mothers, if it was a battle, would they vote over their house member if their house member wasn't doing what they needed to do on the floor?
Absolutely. I will.
I have such a problem with that.
If it's not for cash, at the end of the day, I
feel like this is my child, and there's a reason that this is my child, so I believe that I most likely would see my child, but like, I just really have conflicting thoughts with that, because at the end of the day, I do feel like you should, if somebody is really, but you have to be really, really turning it over, my child. Like, if it's a grandpa and you're really turning it and you deserve it, then okay, great. But I feel like that's what a mother and father, that's what you're set on the panel for. That is a guaranteed vote for your house. I feel like that whatever, at the end of the day, if this person is winning like that, they don't need my vote. Like, if they're winning like that, they're going to get the other four versus mine, so my child can have my vote, because I don't want my child looking at me like my mother don't see me. Because it would hurt me if my mother voted over me. So I think that I would vote for my child.
Sorry.
Okay. The next question that I have that came across Yahoo is, which femme queen do you think is going to be the it girls of tomorrow?
Who want to take the question? Well,
it's so hard because some girls come in and they get a year and then they be gone. So it's just... it's kind of hard. Like, I think Nadia is doing her thing. I think Nadia, Amaya. I think I have a few of them that I think are hot girls. I think Nadia, Amaya, Trace, and
girls,
what
like,
is her name? Yeah, I have to come back to that one.
The new girls that I think that's going to be the next, who set the pace for Faze?
No, the girls of tomorrow.
As far as Faze?
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Like how they did not, like how we are girls from back in the day, and now we're the older girls, and it's, you know, like,
most definitely Nadia, Amaya, who else? Nadia, Amaya, Trace, Trace. Who else? I mean, the girls now come out so fucking cocky. They want to come out.
Right,
like,
exactly. That's why it's hard for me to say.
Like, bitch, who bitch you be thinking you on the floor with
it's
one of
no
girls
humility,
from, like,
right.
10
it's,
years
right.
ago, so you don't know how to separate the younger girls.
And that's because people are
blown
up so bad.
Out. They don't humble their self out how we did when we was coming out. When we met
Shane,
me, Shane,
right.
and all of them, it was like,
yeah, we lived,
you know,
right. We couldn't wait to meet them.
Now, it's like, no, these house. The way they train their kids, oh, this the bitch that
if
you want to
get,
for.
You
go
for the
girl.
Head girl. You go for the girl,
yeah.
Right. They ready to, right. They,
yeah,
it's
so
like,
it's
why
like
go for me? I
don't
even walk like that.
Yeah.
Oh, girl, we got a private caller. Private caller, you're live on the air.
What about Lola?
Lola, my daughter, of course. Of course, Lola. My heart, daughter. I'm sorry if you're listening. My daughter, of course,
you
Lola.
You didn't think that hard about her?
That's
your daughter.
Stop it. And I know who this is. So,
and definitely, Lola, I forgot about Lola. And, yeah, I forgot about Lola, too. And I love Lola. And I definitely, and see, I like Lola.
Thank you, Charlie, Carla. Hold on.
And what I like about
Lola
is she's her own person.
She's her own person, yes.
She's her own person. So, definitely, Lola should have been one of my number one girls. Because Lola is definitely... yeah, she definitely does her own thing. She's her own type of girl. She sells it her own way. She brings it her own way. She turns it for me. I should have definitely said Lola.
Yeah, Lola. Sorry, daughter.
The next caller we have is 708-953. You're live on the air.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dee Dee.
Hey, what's this?
This
you
is
forgot about Temperance.
The thing is that sometimes some of these folks with these statuses and authority abuse their authority because, like you say, there's a lot of unfair things and politics going on in the ballroom scene as far as, like, for instance, the ABC ball this past weekend. I saw a lot of children who were unfairly chopped. Because you don't like someone, you chop them. I don't think that's fair. true. The other thing I wanted to comment on, too, is I feel that maybe somebody should step up and make a change. And when you chop someone, instead of, yeah, some of these mothers and fathers need to teach their children some respect, especially for the legends and icons and the mothers and fathers of other houses, but I think you should respect them and tell them, hey, this is the reason why I chop you, so the next time you come down here and try to twist, or the next time you try to do face, or the next time you try to walk best dressed, you'll have it, so you won't get chopped.
Well, that actually should come with the father, the mother,
yes,
or whoever, the people that's in the house. They should be able to give their children the proper guidance, or, you know what I'm saying, support, or whatever it is before they put them out there. So, I mean, if you chop a person for something and if you ask me what I chop you for, I would tell you, but I don't feel that that's my place.
You have to explain to everybody.
Yeah, I don't have to explain why I chop you. If it's something that I didn't see it for and you ask me, I'll tell you. But I think that's totally up to the house parents and the mothers and fathers or whoever responsibility that is within the house to make sure that their kids is on point and making sure they bring in the category the way it's called for.
Okay, the next question that I have from Yahoo that just came across, they said, can you please ask Didi, if she did not work for the 7500, who do she think should have won?
Honestly, it was a couple of girls there that I think that should have made it down to, you know, that. Can I pick a top five or like a top three? Well, top three, I would say Nadia most definitely was.
Give me your top three.
Put together, huh? Most definitely Nadia was put together. Raquel, of course, you know she always give you a show. Temperance, she brought it. Who else? I think Shatif looked nice. I like the way Shatif looked it. Who else? That was four, girl. You said three.
Yeah,
that was four.
The next caller
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, the next caller we have is 347-432. You're live on the air.
Hey, Kelly.
Hey.
Mother Kiana. Hello. Barbara Walters.
Hey, Mother Kiana.
How are you? Hey,
Nisi. Hey, Kiana.
Hey, baby.
First of all, I want to thank you guys for setting the pace for dark and lovely women and brown skinned women today in the scene. I love you guys. I have a question that's for the both of you. Being a prominent woman in women in the scene and beyond the scene, what do you think has been your toughest challenge you had to endure on both, in both in the scene and beyond the scene? This is to both of you ladies.
The toughest choice I made, and it's, and I'll take the question first, is me transitioning houses from Balenciaga to Allure. Really was not. I'm not going to say that I left for the wrong reasons or whatever, but it was more so on a personal issue within the house. So that was one of the toughest challenges that I had to take on within the scene.
Right.
Out the scene, one of the most toughest challenges that I had to take on was going back to school as a film queen.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know how people, you know, would proceed or take me, you know, whatever, but it was fine. I mean, it was nothing different from, you know. So those are, like, two of the toughest choices inside the scene and outside of the scene for me.
And Temperance?
the toughest challenge in daily life is, really, mm-hmm. I don't know, my mindset as far as my transition changes a lot. Like, every couple of years, you may feel a different type of way. And my toughest challenge, I would think, would, like, I came into it feeling like, I'm a woman and I'm leaving the scene and I'm not going to do this and no one's going to know and I'm going to get my sex change, you know, and then later on you start feeling like it is what it is or whatever. Like, so my toughest challenge would just be my mindset, period, and me sticking, you know, that would be just my toughest challenge is just my mindset, me just confirming this is it and that's it or whatever. And my toughest challenge in the ballroom scene was there was a point where I wanted to go real deep into it, and instead of realizing that it was a, you know, extracurricular activity, and it was like at that time when I was like going hard and I was spending all this money and I wanted to win and I wanted to do this, and that was just like a time in my life. My challenge was to pull away and not to be so deep. And the challenge was just getting out of it and not allowing it to take over my everyday life, and realizing that it was just extracurricular activity for me.
Well, definitely I can contest. And ladies, I want to thank you so much for your time. I love you both, and keep doing what you do.
Thank you, Kiana. Love you, too.
Thank you, Kiana, for definitely calling in. Hold on, ladies. Give me 2 minutes because, you know, this show ain't free, honey. I got to pay some bills. Hold on. We got to come back. I'm about to play some money.
The Baltimore City Health Department and the Baltimore Ballroom Coalition present Know Your Status. A mini ball deluxe conference at the Sheraton Inner Harbor, 300 South Charles Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21201. The date, November 20th, 2010, 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. The ball will start and end on time. Admission free. All three grand prizes are $400 or $500 each. All other prizes between $50 and $100. Commented by the icon Jay Belani and Sierra Milan. For more information, please call Keith at 443-531-3457. Let's get ready and know your status.
Yes. The next caller we have is 973-687. You're live on the air with the Legendary Mothers. Question
Hello.
Or comment?
I have a question.
Hey, Pop.
Hey, how you doing? Shut up, Kelly. How y'all doing tonight?
How are you?
I'm good. I had a question for y'all. My question was, how do y'all feel, since y'all category is face, how do y'all feel about preserving your face? And what recommendations can you give people who are trying to walk your category, who need to learn how to preserve their sexy and preserve their face and preserve their skin and to look beautiful, not just with makeup on, but without the makeup on? What tips can you give to the girls?
Drink a lot of water.
<That's>
get facials, dermabrasions, drink a lot of water, stay away from drugs.
You know,
black on crack, like, no. But no, like, you know, we all do what we do, whatever the case may be. But my personal thing is drugs and drags don't mix. Whatever you do, do it in moderation. Don't sit here and kill yourself doing all of these different drugs. You're not moaning. You're not taking care of yourself. And first of all, you have to be a person that's into yourself, for one. Even to preserve your look, you know. So if you're a person that's into yourself, you know your own flaws. We all have our insecurities and our flaws, and we see things that others don't. But, you know, I mean, it's just you want being into yourself and, you know what I'm saying, just moaning and, you know, taking care of yourself properly. I think that you would go a long way versus partying all of the time, doing the drugs, doing whatever it is that, you know, can deteriorate, you know, your body or whatever as being a femme queen. Some of the things that the guys do, I'm not going to say BQs, whatever, some of the things that the guys do, we can't do, you know. So, I mean, just be into yourself and do what you got to do to, you know, keep yourself preserved or whatever.
And how do y'all feel about surgery? That's my last question. Especially
what about
the,
it?
Yeah, especially in the face region. Do you guys take any type of filling on girls who just get all this type of surgery and then try to walk face versus the girl who has face, you know what I mean, from the start and just and choose to enhance it by doing a little nip or a little tuck there?
I mean, it's obvious.
I don't have a problem with surgery.
Down.
I'm all for it as long as it looks good. If it's natural, I mean, you don't want anything that's just exaggerated and crazy looking, but I'm all for it. If you can get it and it looks good and you can afford it, then go for it. Anything that's going to make you look better and that you're happy with,
sure
as long
you
as you're not doing
time.
It for someone else and you're doing it for you, then I don't have a problem with it. If you're doing it just to walk a ball, then that's kind of crazy and insane to me, and you're always still going to not like yourself if that's what you were running from, because you're still going to be yourself at the end of the day. But if you know how to get surgery and you're content with your surgery, then I don't think anybody else should have a problem with it.
Okay. And that's all I had to ask. I love you, Kelly.
Love you, Lottie.
All right, talk to you,
okay. Next caller, our next caller that we definitely do have on the line, I want everybody to definitely welcome to the line, the first time on Tins and Chops Blog Talk Radio, please welcome the legendary icon herself, Jackie O. Mizrahi, to the line.
Yeah!
Hi, girls!
Hey, hi, Jack.
You know, when Kelly told me today, hi, daughter, what you doing? When Kelly and I spoke earlier, she told me that, you know, the show was going to be about the two of you on there. I definitely wanted to come in and chime in and to not only tell you but to tell everybody who's listening, you know, exactly how important and what you two have really meant to me and to the scene in itself, you know. Having watched both of you grow up in front of me, you know, like 13 years old, Dee Dee and Coco trying to sneak into Backstreets, any chance they tried, and then to see Tempest, you know, just rise up to become one of Atlanta's premier darlings. It's just, like, amazing to see. And I've learned to appreciate the girls because of my association with Sanaya, you know, watching her go transform and understanding her life. And that's why I always, you know, put her first, because that was my first. That was my first experience to seeing how, you know, how a transformation happens. And then after having seen her transformation and watching her constantly always, you know, bettering herself, I've watched all the girls after that that do it. And you too have always amazed me, you know, not only with just your grace and your style and the attitudes that you guys have learned, but just everything that you have done. You know, you are two are not people that were just given status, but you've earned it the right way, you know. Definitely Dee Dee at one point. Dee Dee, even with, remember, didn't you have a gold cap at one time, didn't you? Or like a crowning or something?
Actually, I had two on the side.
And this girl was winning, and she was doing it. Like, you were doing it from shortcuts to long hairs. And then I realized, Dee Dee, when you really came full circle to me, really matured into me, was the Chanel Ball, what was it, maybe 2 years, 3 years ago in Atlanta? And you won with the shortcut. Right before, 08?
08. Uh-huh.
I wasn't there, but watching it on tape that very, you know, 2 days after the ball happened and actually seeing you own it, it brought me back to the days of when I used to sit there and idolize Danielle and Moldavia and Tanae and Arjanae, and it was just like, wow, this lady has arrived, and, you know, she's here because you believed it, we believed it, and it was there and it was present. And as far as you got concerned, Tempest, like, I've always had a great relationship with you since I think you won your first big cash prize at my ball when I had in Atlanta, correct? $500,
right.
All white,
right.
Face.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
To have always known about your singing talent and to have heard you sing and to know that, you know, you were an actress and you were trying to do, you know, you and that at the same time. And not to mention, whenever I'm around Tempest, I can always get a great catchphrase. Always. From the Evangelistas Have Evolved to you thought she was up there for support. You know, I sit around here and speak in your tone and your voice all day, every day. So I just really definitely wanted to say that I'm really proud of you, both of you, to in everything
so much
that you've done. And generally when I do see you guys and I hug you and I smile and we joke and, you know, it's really from the heart because I appreciate you. You girls are like fine wine that have aged, you know, and ripened in the process. So I just wanted to come up here and say that to you both.
Thank you so much, Jack. That means a lot coming from you.
Thanks. Daughter, what's the tea, daughter?
Nothing. We're just sitting here conversating with the ladies, honey. It's ladies' night.
Yes,
it's all about the ladies.
It's definitely all about the ladies. You know, I give props to the ladies, honey. It's not easy. And, you know, I definitely would like to see the ladies be on the floor more. Maybe not every function, but I think what has happened is the ladies want to – there's been so much shade towards the girls, and I know from just being always with the girls, you know, again, like I say, from Sanaya to you girls, to Amaya, to now Trace, Lola, all these girls, I'm able to basically put myself in your shoes and see how hard it is and how it is that, you know, you always you want to please yourselves and you're trying to please the masses and you're still
trying
to get
it from everywhere.
You get it. You do get it from everywhere.
We get it from everywhere. From everywhere. Even inside the gay community, like, I mean, like, they praise us, but then at the same time, you have the butch queens who read the femme queens all the time, like, oh, my God, they don't understand it and this and that. You know, then you have the straight society. It's just which is the bottom of the barrel for when you look at it in a certain type of way. It's like prejudice from wherever we go. But then
you get it from all around.
Yeah, from all around.
Yeah,
so it's like
actually the pretty girls. The pretty girls
so,
have it the worst, I think.
The worst, like
the worst,
I mean, and then you and then
not.
We're guarded. You become guarded. Everybody's like, oh, you're a bitch. You know, you're a bitch, or this, you're that. But that's because you become guarded, and you can't allow everybody in because you've been hurt so much that you don't want to be hurt over and over again.
Right.
You know, and then you have to realize that we're also battling within us. You know what I'm saying? This is not where we were born.
You
know, so
it's
a battle within.
You know what I've learned? You know when you girls really battle? When you guys find out that there's that one sad butch queen that is into the girls, ooh, the girls, the claws come out.
I don't go through that. I don't go through that. Because
no,
I don't
you, but
right.
you've
do like the
you've
other girls.
please don't tell me you're into. Well, let's not talk about what the other girls are into. But nevertheless, let me tell you another thing. Another point of appreciation to me is this. You know, everybody knows who Amanda Lepore is, who is, correct? I've hung out into the white scene and seen how she is put on the highest pedestal.
Yes.
She has, you know, David LaChapelle has promoted her. She's been on
everybody's
runway from Gaultier to Mugler, and she's idolized. And then the thing about Amanda is it's not a reach for her, but in our world, Amanda would never fit in because we'd look at her as an oddity. You know, we would see her as an oddity. But that's what has made her so special. To the white community. That's what's made her stand out. And I think us as a ballroom community, as a black, Latino community, that we really have to really start appreciating the girls and putting and realizing that it's not an easy life. It's not an easy life. It's not an easy life. It's not an easy life for all of us, but the transformation process in itself makes it so hard. And I think the newer girls right now, what they need to learn from you girls from back then is the fact that they have a lot of advantages. These girls got programs now. They don't have to buy their drugs. They don't have to buy their hormones on the back lot. They don't have to go to a pharmacy and kind of whisper and get their drug, you know, get their hormones in a brown paper bag and rushed out the back door. You know, they have doctors, they have counselors, they have everything at their disposal. And I think what the new girls are doing now, why we always use that term microwave, is because they're rushing it. They're rushing it, you know. Neither one of you or none of the girls I've been associated with ran around, you know, with their half shirts on and their stomach showing where they still got a six-pack, you know, and backed up into a moonshot and things like that. As Danielle would say, I always quote the mother, honey, you know. So I think any of the newer girls or any boy that's about to be a girl, anybody that's about to do this or who's doing this, listen and take note from these girls who've been there and they know that. Not everything they say is going to be, you know, law and Bible. You got to do your own thing with it. But please at least take at least 75% of their experience and make it your own. So, and I think you girls are definitely a positive force in the scene. And I will always love to see you girls at Allegria, right, Dee Dee?
Yes, we temperance missed it.
Yeah,
I know.
She was there in June. It was too hot in June.
Yeah, I heard. I missed that one.
Well, ladies, I'm about to tune out and go finish watching Top Model and get into my shows that I missed because we've been here drinking wine and singing love songs. So I love you all, and I hope to see you soon.
All right, love you too, Jack.
Love you too, Jack. See you when I get back to New York.
Yes, please come back so we can work some stuff. And Kelly, I'll see you tomorrow.
Teriyaki.
Yeah,
okay.
She was.
The next one,
The next caller that we definitely do have is 201-356. You're live on the air with the legendary mother.
Hey, what's up, Kelly, Temperance, and Dee Dee? This is Erica Lure.
Hi,
Erica.
I just want to say I love the both of you guys because, like everybody was saying, you guys are a breath of fresh air, and everybody knows that my favorite femme queen of all time was Moldavia. So when I got to see the two of you guys on the hitting the floor, it was like a breath of fresh air. And I want to say I love both of you.
Love you too, Eric.
All right.
All right. The next caller we definitely do have is 410-462. You're live on the air.
Hey, what's up? It's a coincidence I came right behind Erica Lord. Hey, Tempress. Hey, Mother.
Hi.
Hey, DD. How are you?
Hey,
this is Enrique Lord. Just wanted to call in some best love to both of you guys very much.
Thank you so much, Greek.
And a quick question. The new drags, queens, drag, butch queen and drags, which one of you seen think will turn this into beautiful femme queens? Like the new ones are out
which,
now. Butch queen
out
and drags.
Out of the new ones, which one would turn it as a femme queen?
Yes, face femme queens. Who would you say?
Most definitely, Layla Mean. I love
definitely
Layla
my
Mean. Layla Mean. Yeah, Layla Mean. Michelle. What other tracks? I mean, you gotta catch my attention. Like I don't go
right,
to the people
right.
who catch my attention who I actually see. Can actually see their transition or see them becoming a woman. Who else? Like, am I missing anybody?
I definitely
drag.
See those two as well.
Yeah, most definitely Layla Mean. I live for Layla Mean.
Because there's a difference. You could be painted real hard and be like, and look good and have drag space, but then, with, I mean, both of those two, I've sat in the mirror with, like, and they're
yeah.
painting, and they're a boy, and you're looking at them
right.
like, this shit just cut. You know that.
Yeah. So Layla Mean, Michelle, I might be missing somebody, but to come right off the top of my head, those two for sure.
All right, thanks, ladies. Have a good night.
All right.
Okay,
thank you, Enrique. The next caller we have is 312-804. You're live on the air.
I just want to call in since Eric called in. And
okay,
who's this? To my auntie, Dee Dee, this is Milan. You know, I love you. With
Milan, I love you, Milan.
I love y'all so much. And it's such a beautiful thing that Kelly brought
me
to on this radio show. I got talking and telling y'all experience because it's a story that everybody needs to hear. Because, you know, y'all are mentors to not only butch queens, but femme queens alike. Like, y'all are my heart. So I love y'all so much. So that's all.
Thank
I'm
you,
saying.
Milan.
Love,
love you, too, friend. Kelly.
Yes.
So this wasn't her first time.
This one.
I didn't hear what you said, Milan.
Jack was on my show earlier today, so I guess this wasn't her first time today.
Yes, yes. He's making his appearances today.
All right, then. See y'all later.
Yeah. Okay. The next caller we have is 718-930. You're live on the air with the Legendary Mother.
Hey, I just want to say hi to BD and Tempest.
Hello.
This is Kawama. I love y'all.
Hi,
y'all
Kawama.
Kawama.
Happy birthday,
Kawama.
BD. Love you.
Thank you so much. Love you too, Kawama.
Y'all be good and take care. Keep the good work up.
Okay. Lord, in the building tonight.
The girls are definitely calling. The girls are definitely calling. And hi, Daddy. The next question that came over across Yahoo was, what was your hardest challenge to overcome during your transition?
The hardest?
I think accepting who you are. I think accepting because you're like, in your head, you're like, I'm this woman, but really, like, the reality of it is at the end of the day, you are a transgendered woman.
Right.
It's accepting that you are who you are, and it is what it is. And no matter how you try to run from it, someone knows you. Or, you know, like, it's like, you know, and then it's always thrown in our face. And I'm like, baby, I can tell you better than anybody what I am or who I've been. Like, you know, other people want to say, but, girl, you I remember you was tiny or you such and such. Okay, girl, I know that. Like, you know, I think it's just really accepting the fact of who you are.
Repeat it. Someone was talking to me when you said the question, but go ahead, repeat the question again.
Question was, they asked, what was your hardest challenge to overcome during your transition?
basically pretty much what Tempest was saying, just me accepting who I am, you know, because for a minute I had a problem with, like, embracing, you know, the fact that I am who I am. I always tried to cover it up, even, you know, during the beginning of my transition, I tried to always please my family. And once they embraced it, it was more so the guys that I met, I wasn't for sure how they would accept me being who I was, so I kind of hid it a lot. You know, I didn't want to tell them and, you know, going around playing dangerous games with guys who didn't know, you know, about, you know, me being transgender or whatever. So now, you know, it took a very long time and a lot of different situations for me to accept who I am and just to be comfortable with who I am. So that's like one of the most hardest challenges, you know, I can say with my, you know, it's me being a woman.
Okay. The next question that I have for y'all is dating, single, or playing the field?
I'm playing the field right now.
I'm single.
Okay. That's all y'all people out there that's been sending me your questions, asking me those questions. They are both single, honey. Okay.
I'm
talking
to the girls about
Matt, sorry. And so my next thing is, my next question is for Temperance. I really gagged when I was on Facebook and I was definitely seeing the promos for the show that y'all were supposed to be doing in Atlanta. And all the years of me knowing you, I did not know that you had a voice like that. What's next with that voice?
Actually, I'm trying to work towards that right now. I was working with someone, but, like, it's kind of hard just being a female, just the female persuasion period is kind of hard in the music industry. And I've learned that you can't step across the lines of dealing with somebody on a relationship level and then trying to go further business-wise. So things were put on hold, but I am working towards trying to do a type of CD or performances. So I hope that I do have the ballroom scene behind me when I do try to put something out. It would be so great to come with a fan base. And I'm going to start putting, like, different YouTube clips up of me singing. And if y'all could go and view that for me, so my hits, you know, because the more fan base that you have, the easier it is for you to break into this industry. And I do want to be that transgender that actually comes through and turns it out for the folks.
Okay. The next question that I have for Temperance is from the chat room, and everybody in the chat room want to know what happened with Boss Ladies.
I wish I could tell you. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, we were like, I think it was kind of the guy who was behind it. He had the money, but not really the know-how. And when we started, going to the networks, they wanted the show, but he didn't want to sign it over. He actually wanted to have his hand in it as well because it was like his baby, which I could understand because he didn't want them to work us in any type of way. But it needed to be a give and take, and that didn't happen. So if you ask him, things are still rolling. If you ask me, I'm not really sure.
Okay. And the next question is for
Didi.
What's next for
Didi? Well, actually, I start school in January to get my esthetician's license. I'm very big on skin and stuff like that. So I start school in January to get my esthetician's license, and I'm just trying to pursue my makeup career.
Okay. And the next question that I have that came from the chat room, would you ladies fully transition?
What happened?
Absolutely.
What happened?
When are y'all going to get y'all
pussies? Oh, yeah. That's something most definitely that
absolutely.
I'm planning to do.
Folks don't know if I got it or not anyway. I never said I didn't have it. I never said that.
Okay.
Who said she ain't got it already?
Hold on.
I have a caller. Wait, do I? Let me see. Hold on. I have a caller. 410-462. You're live on the air.
I didn't hit one, but hey, I have one more question. I think I was told that you guys already addressed this. This is Enrique again, ladies. How are you? I didn't know I hit one.
I just wanted to, because I guess I wasn't on, but I wanted to see your take on Sydney Starr, a.k.a. Alicia Keys and Scotta. How you guys feel about that? I might have missed that, but just for the record, how do you guys feel about it?
I was about to ask that next.
Yeah, so how do you guys feel?
I think that whatever you feel comfortable doing is great. I don't think that I would, like, I think that they always tie transsexuals to some type of sex scandal or some type of, it's just always a negative connotation when you hear the word transsexual. So I just think that any way that you can go besides negative or calling people out and things like that, then I'm more for that. But I don't knock anybody down. If that's how you want to do it, if you want to come out and say you have this person or that person, then great. I don't really know what happens to you at the end of the day when you go that route, you know, so I don't.
And Dee Dee, how do you feel about it?
I think it's very dangerous, honestly, because, I mean, if you live your life, you know, some of the people have life outside of the ballroom, you know, and from from what I know about Sydney is not really a ballroom girl. Sydney's been doing her thing with, you know, different celebrities for a minute, and not sure of how her tea got out or whatever in the industry or whatever, but I just think it's a dangerous game that some of these girls sit here and confess or make these stories up of these people who they so-called had, and some of them didn't have these people, and all of this dumb, stupid foolery is dangerous, because if you want the girls like me and Temperance, like, we like to go out to straight clubs. We like to do every day. We're not no night girls who just go out at night and just go to the club or go to the ball. We like to do straight events and straight things.
It's not
like,
what you do, it's how you do it.
They mess themselves up. They never can do anything because they like a cat stacks now. You know what I'm saying? Bitch, excuse my language, but you're a snitch pretty much. You know what I'm saying? So no one's going to ever feel any comfortable with doing any type of work. And for a minute,
everybody has had somebody. Everybody has crossed somebody's path. But why would you put that out there like that? Like,
and not get paid for it.
I don't know.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's something.
I have one more question. I know you guys are mothers of different houses. How do you feel about being a mother of Allure, Temperance? And how do you feel about being a mother of Chanel, Dee Dee?
Well,
How about Dee Dee? You go ahead and answer that. I have another call.
Well, as far as me, you know, my whole thing was when I decided to leave Allure, whatever the situation was, whatever with that, I went to Chanel for the simple fact of the matter, like, I've been doing this over 14 years now, you know what I'm saying? And I'm at my peak to where I'm not so thirsty for it as much as I was. And for me to go to another house or to start another house was a little too much for me. So I just felt like that me going back to Chanel where I started from, they understand me and know me a little as far as the older members who have been in the house, Shay Shay, Clayton, Fred, they know me on a personal level, and they know how to communicate with me. They know who Dee is, what she's about. So they don't put all that pressure on to me, you know, like I was in different houses. You know, they wanted me to walk all of the time, want me to do this, want me to do that. It costs to do that. And I'm not going to be a puppet for anyone. So the Chanel was more of a comfort zone for me because that's like my family, where I started from. So I embraced it, actually, when I went back to the house of Chanel. I'm satisfied. I'm pleased. It's my family, and I love them. So.
Okay, great. Temperance, is she
back? She's still on her phone on the other line.
No, I'm here. I'm back. The question was, Temperance was born in the house of Allure. So I'm like back, the birth of Temperance. So that's wonderful. I love being a part of the house. My gay father, my only gay father, is the house father. So it's just like being back with the fam.
All right. Thank you, ladies, very much. Again, have a good night.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
The next question that came over from the chat room, they want to know, do y'all always tell y'all team?
Do we what? What happened?
No.
or do we already tell our team?
Right, yeah.
I didn't hear the question.
When you meet someone, when you meet straight trade, do you always tell them your tea?
No. I don't think if we're not being intimate, then you don't really need to know that. It's on a per basis. It's a per basis thing for me. It depends on how I'm feeling. Like really, it's like you know. But if we're not being intimate, then you don't have to know it. But like I said, minds have changed over the years. You know, I realize that you know it is what it is. So it just really depends on how I'm feeling that day.
I mean, no, not pretty much the same thing. I don't tell them off the rip. I mean, if we want to get sexual or more intimate or get to, you know, to that point to where it's like, okay, I need to let them know what's going on. Yeah, I tell them. I don't play the game, those type of games anymore. No, that's dangerous. So I try not to go around fooling guys and pursuing them and, you know, going on and on and on with it without not telling them, you know, what time it is for me. There's too many guys out here that accept it for you to try to hide it, you know, so.
The next question that came over, so once y'all finish the full transition and get y'all sex change, will y'all tell them or will y'all pay it?
Oh, my God.
Well, once again, if it's a person that I may be with, and it's going to be something long time, I think it's still a mystery. I mean, you know, if it's a guy who you're going to be with or whatever, he's going to want to know why you don't have periods, why you don't have kids, where are your baby pictures. So eventually, somewhere within there, you will have to tell them something. Because if you can't show your husband, that don't validate a woman.
If you really love someone, you're going to ask, how could you really love someone and keep such a secret like that from them? So I think that no people that I would just have on the regular, not that I would be a whore or anything, but like people that I would just have or something, if it was, then no, they don't all need to know that. But somebody that you're going to spend your rest of your life with,
But someone you just doing, you know, whatever, then no, it ain't that damn business.
I know, that's right.
Can we get a,
because they picked you a clip in the chat room of you singing. Can we get a little sample of that voice?
Oh.
What happened?
What happened? I didn't hear that. The phone went out.
They put the link of you singing on Facebook in the chat room here on the show. And so somebody hit me up on Yahoo, and they said to ask Tempers, can we get a sample of her voice live on the show?
That phone keep getting staticky. I don't like singing over the phone because I just don't think that it comes out clear.
It doesn't come out clear, girls, on Yahoo. She don't want to do it over the phone, honey. She don't want to do it over the phone.
Like, I just think that it would probably just sound like, I don't know. Like, can they hear me talking clear?
Will we see her at the next function? We're going to
put it on Facebook.
We're going to give her the microphone,
honey. I'll do it at the microphone. I'll do it at the function.
I know she's going to be in New York February 18th at the awards ball. We're going to put her on the spot at the awards ball.
That's what's happening. I got you.
All right, so my next question is to y'all. How do you feel about the respect level of the children today from the children back when?
I don't think there is no respect. I think that we really respect. I think that we were more respectful. We looked up to the hierarchy, the higher powers, or the, you know, mother or father, or the legends in the ballroom scene. It was just more of a respect. Like, I mean, to me, the ballroom scene is an underground industry, and they kind of were the celebrities, and you kind of wanted to be on that level. So you was the respect. Like, I mean, you was your own person, but you still respected. I wasn't going to kiss your ass, but I did give props where they were due. And I didn't try to tear those people down for what they have done. And I realized that there was a legacy and there was something that I was trying to follow. So it was okay to look up to those people. I just think that today, the newer kids feel like maybe because they wasn't there in your reigning time or because what you have done, they always try to knock you down. Like, there's not really any respect, and they always want to tear you down as fast as they pull you up. Or the new person that comes out, she needs to turn you. You got to get Dee Dee. You got to get Temperance. You know what I'm saying? It's just always, there's, I don't think that the respect is there like it used to be.
Dee Dee.
Most definitely, I agree. There's no disrespect. The girls not humble as they were when we was coming up, and they're cocky. I mean, they're like, I just think they're very disrespectful. And that's why some people who don't know me, like the newer generation, I'm kind of standoffish a little bit, and they have their own perception of who Dee Dee may be. They think I'm shady. They think I'm mean. Some might think I'm nice or whatever, whatever. It's just that, like, I'm just be on the defenses because, like I said, the newer generation just very cocky. I mean, when we see, like, older female figures, guy figures, whatever, who was high authorities in the barroom scene, we would speak. We would go up to them or you know what I'm saying, wave or hey. Nowadays, it's just stand there and look at you like you're crazy and, you know, like, they don't speak. They don't, I don't know how to perceive that. I guess I'm just a very loyal individual, and I just try not to let my defense down, you know, around too many people. I have a very big tradition.
Yeah, there are some, though. I won't go to the extreme. I mean, I guess the statement I made was kind of a broad general statement, but there are some kids who still do have respect, and, you know, I love
that. Yeah, there's very few, very few. But, yeah.
I knew this right. Hold on one more time, honey. You know, I got to play this commercial again. I'm trying to find this damn thing, honey. It seemed like it disappeared, honey. Where did it go, honey? Ask Temperance where she got the name from. Temperance, they want to know, where did you get the name from?
My gay father named me Temperance. Also, there was a Temperance a long time ago who was a beauty, a femme queen, and she was a brown skin girl. And when he gave me the name, like the ballroom scene, just, you know, they cut it and they liked it, and, you know, I liked it. And so it came from Alleluia, my gay father.
Dee Dee, where did you get the name Dee Dee from?
My aunt started calling me that, actually, because I never, like, people were asking me my name, and, like, at the time, I wasn't taking my transition really serious, so I was just like, I don't know. They were always asking, like, what's your name or what's your girl name going to be? It was like, I didn't know because I didn't really think that I would go through my transition, but my aunt is the one who actually named me Dee Dee, and it's just something that just stuck with me.
Yes. Okay, hold on. Let me play this commercial.
The Baltimore City Health Department and the Baltimore Ballroom Coalition present Know Your Status. A mini ball deluxe conference at the Sheraton Inner Harbor, 300 South Charles Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21201. The date, November 20th, 2010. 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. The ball will start and end on time. Admission free. All three grand prizes are for $500 each. All other prizes between $50 and $100. Commented by the icon Jay Belani and Sierra Milan. For more information, please call at 443-531-3457. Let's get ready and know your facts.
Thank you. To anybody that's out there and you definitely want to advertise your ball and you definitely want to have a commercial, definitely play it on the show and definitely come up here the Wednesday before the ball and definitely talk about your ball and everything, please definitely hit me up on my email at legendarykellymizrahi@yahoo.com, or you can definitely hit tinsandchopsup@yahoo.com, and you can definitely have a commercial up here. And definitely come back that Wednesday night before your ball and definitely promote your ball. And my final and last question, because I know that y'all are busy ladies, and I definitely do want to definitely thank y'all for definitely coming here and being with us for this hour and 45 minutes. My final question that I have for both of y'all is, what do you see for your house for 2011?
Well, far as
the House of Chanel goes, there's going to be a lot of different changes and a lot of newer members that's going to be a little more active, because with our house, we have a a lot of the people who've been doing it at least 5 to 10 years or better. So we're just trying to get newer kids that's fresh to the scene and, you know, like, pretty push them, you know, and get the house, you know, the name going it more, whatever. And I mean, just different faces or whatever. We're trying to change the face of the House of Chanel. That's pretty much it as far as the House of Chanel goes.
We're bringing Hollywood back. We're coming in full effect. We've been out. We're going to come. We're bringing the unity back, the family back. We're setting standards. We're trend setting. We just want to be that house that is recognized as an elite house that brings it, that's family and is ready to compete and battle down. Like, we want to bring that fun back to the ballroom scene, and that's what we're working towards.
Oh, my God, thank you. But on behalf of myself and behalf of Jasmine Couture, Ms. Rahi, the financial backer of the show, I definitely do want to thank y'all both for definitely taking this time out of your busy schedule to definitely come up here and sit and talk with the ballroom community and let them know exactly where y'all came from to where y'all at today and everything that y'all have going on in your life. And so I want to give y'all a round of applause.
Thank you.
That is cute. Thank you so much, Kelly, for inviting
me. Thank you,
me. Okay,
Kelly.
Congratulations
anytime.
With the show. I wish y'all, like, the best for the show. I hear that yours is the longest running, and it's been going for a while. So good luck with that and all that. And thanks, everybody out there, for listening and for the questions.
Yes, we are definitely the longest running show, and I definitely let the girls know, bitch, whether it's sleet or snow or whether I'm in jail, bitch, I still do the show, bitch, because I done did the show 2 months ago from jail, bitch. The fuck we have I'm going to do this motherfucking show, but I definitely do want to thank y'all for definitely calling it tonight.
Anytime,
everybody
family.
Say goodnight to the ladies. We're definitely wrapping it up with the ladies, and we have about 10 minutes left to the show, and we're definitely wrapping it up with the ladies, so please definitely goodnight, and I can definitely wait to see y'all at the next ball.
Okay,
right,
good night.
Says,
see you later. Good night,
okay,
everybody.
Good night to the ladies, honey. And on that note, we're definitely done. We're definitely done with the ladies, definitely for tonight. I definitely do want to thank the legendary Aurora Mother, Tempest Law, for definitely coming on the show. I also definitely do want to thank the legendary Aurora Mother, Dee Dee Chanel, for definitely being on the show. For everybody that was in the chat room, I definitely want to thank y'all for definitely being a part of the show, keeping everything in the chat room that y'all had to say very positive. I definitely want to thank everybody that was definitely on the phone line for definitely being positive with all your questions, coming and being so outspoken in all your questions and answers and comments and everything, and the love and support that you definitely did show these ladies, Miss Day. It's a hard thing being a transgender, but it's a hard thing also coming up and telling your story. And these ladies definitely did come up here tonight and definitely did tell their story. And we have outside of the ballroom scene, it's a whole different thing. All the things that you hear about the girls and the things that people might say about girls, it's not that way when you actually do get to know these girls outside of the scene. These girls are definitely humble girls, and they definitely down to earth. But when it's time to hit the back of that floor, the shade and the cattiness come out. But the thing that the girls have to realize in the scene today, you have so much shade and you have so much drama on the back of the ballroom floor, Miss Thing. And if the bitch queens was to stay out of all the female figures' business, Miss Thing, it wouldn't be a problem. Because when these girls get off the back of the floor, these girls are still girlfriends. They're still going to be in after hours together. They're still going to be partying together. They're still going to be doing makeup together because they are girlfriends and they are sisters and they are bond for life. And on that note, I want to thank everybody for definitely being a part of Change the Charts tonight. And like I tell you, every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever bathroom, whatever alleyway you definitely do go into, please make sure you do practice safe sex. The life you save will definitely be your own. I'm the legendary Aurora East Coast mother of the house, Ms. Rahi. We'll see you back here Monday night, live at 11 p.m. for the recap of all the madness and all the balls that definitely did happen this weekend. Good night, and see you here Monday night.
Here's another one, and another one, from Little Kim, the Queen Bee.
It's Ladies Night, what? It must be Angie on the mic. The butter pee, honey, got the sugar, got the spice. Go to L tonight, keep the rhymes right, yo. I just raised this motherfucker up last night, and I'm the rookie on this all-star team. Me and Kim is getting cream, like Thelma and Louise, but on chrome. Never leave that Brooklyn shit alone, so if you say it's on, then it's on. Bang this in your whip, pack some Coda Goldie with the chips in the wrist. Here's a French kiss, I dismiss all you chicks. Spit sticks from the fourth, fifth, make it dance. Ow! I stay focused in the dope, like a penny with a hole in it. Y'all just hope it and tote it. I ain't lying, niggas trying to knock me off, keep trying. All it takes is one phone call to my street team, promote that ass like a soundtrack, you jack. Send it off with the 850. Y'all missing the buck? What the fuck? Bump Biggie in the truck, in the bus to my double vision. Let me see you do the bank head if you're rich. It's the rap, made West, the QB. And I got all my sisters a man.
Runway.